I'm 40% podcast.
I'm 40% podcast.
You know I'm 40% podcast, baby.
You know I'm 40%
podcast. You know I'm 40% podcast, baby.
I'm only 40%.
Go.
40% podcast.
I'm 40% podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jinx Monsoon, and welcome to the first episode of season 3 of I'm 40% podcast. Now we've been.
It said whoop whoop on the soundboard, and I thought that was like whoop whoop whoop.
I haven't even introduced you yet, so you don't
Zoidberg.
Get to talk
I'm sorry.
Yet.
It wasn't Zoidberg.
Now we have been on a hiatus for quite some time now. I don't know how long has it been. I haven't introduced you yet. Don't talk. It's been like maybe a year and some change, almost 2 years. But guess what? We're back with a vengeance and just in time to do a few episodes of season 3. And then we'll have to pause season 3 to start reviewing the brand new episodes. Can I get a whoop, 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 whoop?
Oh, wait. This one makes more sense.
Woo!
There we go.
That one does. I wish you were a little more on top of things. You had like
I haven't opened this app in a year and a half. I open it up and I don't know what any of these words mean.
With me, as always, is my co-host, the little shit, the little brat king of Koreatown.
Don't live there anymore.
Where do you live now?
Echo Park.
Echo Park? What's about that? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, the Fast and the Furious house is pretty close to me. That's kind of funny.
Do you live next to Vin Diesel? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
He doesn't live there except for in the world of the Fast and the Furious. So no, because I don't live in that world.
What's his character? Some kind of...
Dom Toretto? Why are we talking about this?
Listen, it's Nick Sohoia. Welcome back, Nick Sohoia.
Hello, I'm still fun. I am married now. No other differences.
We're both married. You can't rub that in my face.
We have a great guest today, don't we, Jinx?
Yes, we do. Our guest today wrote and directed the movie Jawbreaker, which every queer person must know. If you don't already know it, you better get into it. It's been made into a musical now as well. Please welcome Darren Stein. Of course, I focused on Jawbreaker, but it's not like that's the... You're a writer, you're a director, you're Hollywood. Darren, welcome to I'm 40% Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jinx and Nick. It's so good to be here and actually get to watch an episode of Futurama, which I've never seen.
Yay! Exciting.
I have to imagine some of the actors in Jawbreaker voice acted in Futurama.
Well, I went to high school with a guy named Phil Lamar.
Oh, I met Phil Lamar recently at the Emerald City Comic Con. He is so nice, Phil Lamar. Did Judy Greer ever voice act on Futurama? That feels like something she would have done,
she
right?
She must have.
I'm sure she must have.
She voice acts on Archer. American Dad and Archer.
And I have another actress I worked with named Lori Allen. And I think Lori might do a voice on Futurama or has done voices. She was the whale on SpongeBob, I think. Is there a whale?
Mrs. Puff, Lori Allen, she must have. She's such a great voice actor. And she's also in Serial Mom. It wasn't
Love Serial
blood
Mom.
On the fire poker. It was gore. Darren, you are a Hollywood professional. Do you have any feelings or sentiments towards Futurama being picked up again for a new reboot season? This will be the fourth time it's been rebooted.
Oh my God. I feel like I have no, is it, what's the saying, in the race for that?
So you
have
no horse in the race.
Horse in the race.
I have no horse in the race. I am that weird person who like was not into like Futurama or The Simpsons.
Do you like any cartoons, or are you just not like a cartoon girl?
I'm not a cartoon girl. Isn't that terrible? Fine. I watched Davy and Goliath growing up, which was more like claymation.
What you doing, Davy?
And then Super Friends. Remember Super Friends? Like I watched that when I was a kid in the 80s. In the morning.
I used to watch that like daytime. That cartoon would be on.
I was gonna say most of my friends who don't know Futurama or The Simpsons were raised in like a strict Christian household. Darren Stein, was that the case for you?
No, I was Jewish, but my parents never... I don't have that excuse. They let me play like the Rocky Horror album. They let me like get Fangoria magazine. And like I was all, you know, weird as hell. I mean, I had a shock treatment birthday party when I was like 10, you know, at the theater.
Shock treatment. No one knows shock treatment. I argue that the music in shock treatment is actually better music than in Rocky Horror. I hope no one wants to crucify me. I love both. But I think the music in shock treatment is more captivating. Whatever.
It's so good. It's so good. It's new wave goodness for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Darren, speaking of Fangoria and spooky things, one of the reasons we thought of reaching out to you for this episode is this is kind of a spooky episode. And in addition to your movie career, you have become a staple in the spooky drag community with your work over on Dragula.
Yeah, the Boulay brothers are just really good friends of mine. And they came to me right before that show started and asked me if I wanted to be a guest judge on the first episode. I was like, I don't do that sort of thing. But I had never done a guest, anything like that. But I love the collision of horror and glamour. And so I was so excited by what they were doing. Because to me, that was like a Rocky Horror for a new generation. And so that made it really exciting for me.
And you're always on there judging, serving looks and looking adorable.
I can't not serve a look on Dragula. I'll be ridiculous. I'll look, you know what I mean? You have to just sort of bring it to that show.
Darren.
So how did you feel about the Christine and the American Werewolf homages in this? You
responded to them. I thought they were so great. I mean, it was so much fun. You know, I was just going to say,
you never watched Futurama, and I wanted to personally apologize that we invited someone of your caliber to watch arguably one of the worst episodes of Futurama in the history of the television
this
show.
Is Jinx's hot take is that this is a bad episode, but I think she's just never seen the movie Christine.
Yeah. I've seen Peaches Christ and Varla Jean Merman parodying Christine. They make references. Well, they make references to it in their Shining parody. The point is, I am all for the way this show toys with reality, concepts of physics and space and time. It's a sci-fi cartoon that doesn't take itself seriously. Anytime there's quote-unquote magic, it's explained through sci-fi some way, except for this. Like, they have me at the beginning when it's like the virus... the virus from the dead.
We can't get into a beat by beat. You're gonna be complaining about this the whole episode. We have to get into the news segment first.
Okay, fine. But we're gonna hear it the whole episode.
I can interrupt you during this little rant. Okay, news segment.
Good news, everyone.
We have a premiere date for the new season of Futurama. It's July 24th. And we're going to get our first new episode on Hulu, and then we'll get weekly episodes for the first 10 episodes of Hulu's 20-episode order. First new Futurama in a decade or something. How do we feel?
They're going to do weekly releases.
Which makes me happy.
Yeah. excuse me. But does that mean... So it's a Hulu original now?
I don't know. They'll make a joke about it
being
on Hulu in the first episode.
Are they airing it somewhere?
Episode. No, it's just on Hulu.
It's just on Hulu.
It's the streaming era, babe.
Well,
get with the
Drag
times.
Me to Dinner just came out, and it all came out at once.
I so know, but...
They're making all their own rules. I just wanted to check.
Disney Plus is doing the same thing with the Marvel stuff. Sometimes it's a dump, sometimes it's weekly. The
don't
point
say
is,
dump.
Though, you said dump earlier in front of Darren, and I was horribly
dump.
Embarrassed, and I didn't call it out. I didn't call attention
did I say
to it
dump.
Because I'm on your side.
Anyway. I don't remember Jinx saying dump, but yeah.
It was before we started recording. I was horrified.
It didn't happen.
Anyway, this is both good news and very annoying news because we're going to do like 3 episodes of this old season and then Race Chaser style, we're going to have to snap into the new episodes and then come back to season 3. So that's a little annoying. Adjust your
no
viewing schedules accordingly.
No one seems that upset about it.
I'm pretty upset, but I guess my feelings don't matter to you. Okay, end of news segment.
I'm upset too because I like everything to be chronological. But whatever. Okay, so
let's
Darren,
get into the episode.
You've never seen Futurama. Were you able
I mean,
to gain?
I've
the
seen
premise?
Images. I've seen images and culture. Obviously, it's like
sure.
pop culture. You know, it's like iconic, and you know, is there a Futurama world at Universal and something like that? Or no, there's a.
I wish I would go there.
Simpsons world, but I imagine
the Simpsons world. Yeah.
Right. Right.
They probably gotta have some Sly references in there.
I know Peggy Bundy does the voice of that big one-eyed woman with the ponytail, and she's mm-hmm. fabulous.
What do you mean big? She's normal size.
No, she's kind of buff.
Big meaning just like I meant.
What's funny is they're always making jokes about Leela's appearance, even though she's drawn in the same dimensions as Amy. Anyway,
I think I was just thinking of the big eye, actually.
Yeah, I'm just teasing you. I'm just yeah, teasing yeah. you.
Let's get into this episode.
Yeah.
There's no cold open. We have a Chiron. It says, smell-o-vision users, insert your nostril tubes now. And I think this is just everything you want in a Chiron. It's self-referential. It's snappy. It's funny. I give this 5 out of 5 Chirons for sure. Jinx, how many
that.
Chirons?
I give it 4 Chirons.
Okay.
I like that it was like a reference, kind of a reference to William Castle and John Waters' Polyester. I was like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the scratch and sniff.
Smell-o-vision.
Yeah.
That was for Polyester, which is the movie that is most famous in my family because Divine looks like my grandma in that movie. They kind of styled her in the same way my grandma kind of styled herself back then. And the way she acted around Tab Hunter is exactly how my grandma acted around her boyfriend. Anyway, Polyester.
That's my good favorite
film.
John
Check
Waters.
It out.
I love
it's
Polyester.
It's one of the softer John Waters films.
No, Darren, how many Chirons would you give this Chiron out of a possible 5 Chirons?
I would give it 5 just because I just loved that it was such a deep cut vintage reference.
Okay, good. Yeah, starting the almost a perfect score across the board, but Jinx, you know.
I have a high standard for Chirons.
We open on an old robot dying in bed. The robot doctor says notify his survivors, and we cut to Bender at the Planet Express office, and he's being very annoying. He's singing a little song. Did we like this?
I like
I forgot
the
how
little
we do this
song.
Show.
I forgot. I like the little song. I like that. What's he going? B-E-N-D-E-R, Bender! But right away, I have a question.
Okay, well, drink your water and then ask
first
your question.
First of all, how's the robot dying? What's the robot dying of? Why does he have a
robot
heart
disease.
Monitor? Is it the whole thing that robots are eternal? Isn't that like a big thing they establish over and over, but this robot's dying?
He was okay. made faulty.
Is it,
okay.
Is it Bender? Is that Bender dying in the beginning?
No, that's Bender's oh. uncle. Yeah, that's
sorry.
Bender's uncle. Because no, we get
I am
because we cut to
character.
It and he gets the letter like
okay.
notifying him of,
okay.
of the
yeah.
will reading.
Well, I believe it's kind of a reference to Bram Stoker's Dracula in a way,
yeah.
right? It's the
yeah. yeah, it's the classic horror trope mm-hmm. of the rich old uncle that we've never heard of dying, and now he gets the estate. How, do you care about the robot science of all of this? Are you happy to suspend your disbelief?
I think all the robots are kind of what makes the show even more off-putting to me than The Simpsons.
Off-putting?
No, not in a bad way, but like, it's just, you know, these, it's a lot of like retro robots. It just feels very like obscure and niche. I don't know. It's wild. It's a new thing for me.
Sorry, it's not your the sleek design of your Westworld or your Haley Joel Osment in AI.
AI. Deep right? Cut.
No, yeah. I think it's cool. No, I think it's cool that it's like these like vintage retro robots. You know, I think it's wild.
But you You don't care that his rich robot uncle is dying of an unknown robot disease.
I think it seems like this is a standalone episode, right? In that it's kind of like, wait, I don't know, because I've never seen others.
This is a valid question. We've never seen this robot uncle before.
See,
and
okay,
it actually kind of doesn't make sense that he would have an uncle based on what we know about Bender.
This is what I'm saying. I like the trope. I hate it when a show that is so diligent about giving you the rules of how this universe works, then they just do an episode that basically defies all of those rules, but they don't do anything to try to like fit it into the context of their universe. You know, so the uncle dies, Bender inherits the house.
They go to Thermostad. That's the village. The village is called Thermostad.
They go to the will reading.
There's a bunch of shit that happens on the way to the will reading. This is my job. Why are you doing the recapping?
Because you're too slow.
I recap, you
let
comment.
Me go on and on.
We've
and
done
on.
This so many times.
You let me go on and on. You need
when
to
interject. When I cut you off,
more.
You get mad. There's no winning for me.
Stop yelling at me.
So they go to Thermostad. It's an Eastern European village full of robot villagers.
No, wait. It's like pronounced Thermostat.
I know, but I have to say the D so that people get that it's like a joke.
No, you have to say Thermostad.
That's what I said.
No, we didn't.
Darren,
you enunciate,
would you agree that
boy.
Jinx is being hypercritical right now?
She's a Virgo. She's allowed, you know.
I thought it's in her
DNA.
I thought that's what this show was about, was you and I fighting. Anyway.
How did we feel about this little robot village, very superstitious of the castle?
I love it.
Funny
this
things
is
like,
the only
I choose
part
to believe
like
what I'm programmed
it.
To believe.
I choose to believe what I'm programmed to believe. I love that line so much because it's true for humanity as it is true for robots, dude. Am I right?
Oh, for sure.
So they do go to the castle at this point. There's a funeral happening. And I guess these are like Bender's extended robot family that are mourning, but we don't learn anything about them. And then right after the funeral, we have the will reading. The butler gets a pittance. The rich son gets everything, but he has no concept of money. And the old trope of Bender getting the castle, but only on the condition that he has to stay there for one night. But it's kind of funny because he already won.
It's funny because he goes, yay, I want a castle. Let's stay there tonight. On condition that you spend one evening within its walls. Oh, man, there's always a catch. Example of great Futurama writing. I have a question. How did everyone feel about the son just having it's just painted on his chest, Euro trash bot. But then when he speaks, he has an American accent. So are we to believe that he's some sort of transplant, internationally raised Euro trash bot?
I was so taken with that graphic and joke that I didn't notice the voice was American.
I also did not notice, which is funny. Well, is there something like Eurotrash people are trying to emulate, like American exported culture or something?
Remember when we went to the underground dance party in Amsterdam and they were playing Shania Twain and everyone was singing "Man, I Feel Like a Woman"?
Yeah,
isn't it the same kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone in Europe wants to be Shania Twain. I think you're right.
And I think it was a hint that maybe they were hinting at how absurd the whole notion of the episode is. You know what I'm saying? That they weren't crossing their
I don't think
T's.
They were trying that hard on this episode.
Okay, so the crew settles in for the night. It's a super spooky night in this spooky castle. And it, like, what's this kind of an homage to? Is this like 13 ghosts? Like, I've seen House on Haunted Hill or something. What is this where they stay in a haunted mansion?
House on Haunted Hill. I mean, they're just mashing it all together.
It's all a mashup. I mean, even in Bram Stoker's Dracula, you know, he has to, I think, of Keanu Reeves spending that first night there. I mean, he spends many nights there.
I just figured it out. That's why Eurotrashbot has an American accent, because it's an homage to Keanu Reeves in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
There you go.
Huh.
Jinx is smoking an enormous pipe for the audio listeners. It's pretty cool looking.
That's really pretty, Jinx. It looks like a sculpture.
It does. It's gorgeous. It's like modern turquoise. Art. Yeah. Darren, are you a weed enthusiast? Do you enjoy ever?
I'm not. I'm so boring. I know. I think you need to be a weed enthusiast to be into like Futurama. You know, it's like
I feel like
might be onto something.
It's people older than Darren and like Darren and Peaches and other people their age are part of this generation that we just skipped. Maybe because they were raised by their hippie I don't know. No,
well, the weed was shit back then.
You didn't have hippie parents. We had hippie parents. You had strict parents.
Anyway.
They were strict, yeah.
Anyway, Ben is very, very spooked out by this castle. Hermes reassures him, the last ghost died over 200 years ago, which I thought was very funny.
That is a good line. Yeah. Okay, so the house starts haunting them. We see special things. We see blood in a bloody binary code on the wall. That's a funny joke.
Parody of Red Rum. Very funny.
Did you look up what the binary spells? Does it spell murder?
I didn't look it up.
I was talking to Nick, the show's
historian.
Oh,
no, I didn't look it up.
You're fine, dear.
No, I was, I'll tell you what, I was so tired and sleepy watching this and writing the recap that I had to turn it off and finish it this morning, as though it was homework and I was in the eighth grade.
Well, I hope you've looked it up by the next episode, but...
I'm not going to remember to do that. Zero chance.
The thing I liked about the scientific explanation for how the house was haunted, and this is why the episode disappoints me, is they did something really clever. The robot bodies were buried in poorly insulated coffins. So their like programming leaked out into the modem somehow. And the modem was projecting holographic images of their programming. This is very funny to me, because aren't there instances of people thinking their house was haunted, but they were drinking from well water that was contaminated by corpses buried nearby that were poorly buried or like were not in proper coffins? So they're like toxins leaked out into the well water. Anyway, so I thought that was very interesting and funny, which begs the question, then why they would go, like, if they're going to take the time to scientifically explain robot ghosts, that then they would say that Bender's body has the ability to turn into a car after being hit by another car.
You need to watch a movie called Transformers.
It's not even explained like Transformers, because the body doesn't like click and turn and like
robot viruses.
No, it just stretches out.
The future.
It just stretches out. Robot rubber comes out of nowhere. Rubber comes out of nowhere. The whole structure, the anatomical
Darren, let me ask you this. Do you find it any less plausible that this car would turn into, this robot would turn into a car that a human would turn into a wolf?
No, because, yeah, I was just thinking about an American Werewolf in London and how he stretches into a wolf. And like,
yeah, that's clearly what it is.
So why can't a robot become a car?
That's magic.
No, this it's the full moon. It's the full moon, right?
Yeah, but werewolves in human movies, that's like magic. We're talking about a robot in a sci-fi cartoon.
A wizard did it.
Fine.
And that's a really excellent joke about The Simpsons where Zeta says that a wizard did it.
Darren doesn't understand because he never watched it.
I've seen it. Wait, just so you know, I have seen a couple episodes of The Simpsons. I have
What's your favorite episode of The Simpsons?
I
can't tell you what they were, but I've definitely seen a couple episodes.
Okay.
And I dated a guy for a year and a half that saw every season of The Simpsons and adored it.
I thought you were going to say you absorbed a little bit. Simpson.
Yeah.
You dated Jessica Simpson's.
Oh, and my friend, I had a friend who dated Matt Groening. Is it Groening?
Yeah.
And so, yes, no, I went to,
no one knows how to pronounce his name, actually.
Well, I went to his mansion once on PCH. Ooh. That he bought from Bruce and Demi, apparently.
Ooh.
He was very nice, a very nice
was
man.
Was it all painted yellow?
He had a lot of fetish art inside. Like, I was like, you go, Matt Groening. You like fetish girls. Like, I just thought it was kind of cool.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Into, like, he was kind of kinky.
Okay.
My middle school homeroom teacher.
I don't know what to do with that information.
I just wanted to share it.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Matt Groening was raised in Portland, where I was raised, and my middle school homeroom teacher went to school with him, and she brought him up like once every other day.
That's amazing.
And her name was Jodie Foster.
Oh.
What?
See,
I'm
Jinx.
Telling you,
it's wild.
Interesting, if true.
Stop, it's
so
true.
Wait, and wasn't that greeting involved with Futurama? Is that his show or no?
Yeah. This was kind of his next big project.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I mean.
He created both.
I figured as much. I just, you know, sometimes it's like a lead writer from The Simpsons who breaks off to a new show. You know, I didn't know. I wasn't.
I think this is kind of the golden era of Futurama because some of The Simpsons writers, like the best ones, kind of were maybe a little burnt out writing for The Simpsons. And they came here and they had all these new avenues for like jokes. And that's why all this stuff is so awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
Funny.
But he created The Simpsons, Futurama, and Disenchanted. Which is his new project.
And don't forget the live action sitcom The Pits, which ran for about half
a
season.
I love that.
The Pits.
Yep. We'll talk about it later.
We don't have time.
We're running a little long already. We can't get into The Pits tonight.
Move this episode along. Now we know how I feel.
Okay, so Bender's very, very scared by the robot ghosts, and he runs out into the night, and he hears a howling, and he is attacked by a car. And he gets squished by the car. The car drives off. And he wakes
smooshed.
Up. He gets smooshed, for sure. And he wakes up the next morning. They find him. And he says he was attacked by a non-hover car with rubber wheels. And no one believes him.
Not even Fry, who came from a generation. Fry got around in non-hover cars with rubber wheels. But Fry seems more flabbergasted than anyone that...
Darren, watching just a cold episode of Futurama, were you able to discern that Fry is the only one from, like, our present day? Was that clear to you?
Yeah, I kind of got that, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep asking you questions.
He seemed like the human character, and yeah, and I love
that. Well, they're all human. Okay.
Oh my god. Except for Zoidberg.
Wait, the robot's not human. Bender.
The robot's not a human, Mom.
Yeah. And wait, the Peggy Bundy character isn't she an alien with that one
Ooh,
eye?
Ooh, good question. I think we'll find out more about that in the future.
In the Futurama.
So there's a really great line which I quoted this line during the pandemic in a tweet. I no longer have Twitter, but it was one of my last great tweets. And it says, you've been drinking too much. This is Fry to Bender. You've been drinking too much or too little. I forget how it works with you. Anyway, you haven't drunk the exact right amount. And that's what I tell my brain whenever I'm trying to write something.
Oh. That Fry says it to Bender, but the same line applies to drag queens.
Yeah, exactly. This is a universal. I think this applies to a lot of people.
You've been drinking too much.
I love that shot. That shot when they all pull up, they all offer their flasks at the same time. That was a great image.
Oh, that was very funny. And they all have different liquor bottles.
Yeah, that was, I thought, really.
Just establishing this whole crew as alcoholics. Mm-hmm. So they fly home. But Bender, he's not able to sleep because he's been having nightmares. And Zoidberg is selling Mary Kay makeup, which I thought was very funny. He's really pushing it on his coworkers. They hear that there was a car attack in New York with the same wheel marks. And Bender figures that the car that hit him followed him back to New York. So they go to investigate. We cut to some footage of a car driving around the New York rooftops. It's leaping from rooftop to rooftop. What did we think of this?
I just don't care at this point. Like, they lost me. They lost me when they gave up. They lost me when they gave up on their own rules. So I kind of check out.
Are you just boycotting this episode? You have to have opinions about it still.
No, I kind of check out mentally until we get to the original wear car. I like the Calculon backstory. Let's get into the Calculon backstory.
Okay, we're not there quite yet, but we'll get there a little quicker. There's some like squatters who are chased by the car, and they go back to their squatters hotel, which I think is called the squattery or something. And it's very funny because they think they get away, but they go into the elevator and the car's in there waiting for them, which is pretty funny. See, why is that okay for you, Jigs, that the car got into the elevator? That's also scientifically impossible.
No, because it's a cartoon.
What? Then why can't the robot turn into a car?
But isn't the car also pure evil? Can't, like, pure evil?
Yeah, it's pure evil,
I don't
evil,
need
Mom.
To explain it to you, Nick.
I'm sorry,
it's a
Derek,
cartoon,
I should have warned
so it doesn't
you.
Have to follow the laws of physics, but it should follow its own laws of what is real.
Darren, I'm really sorry that you're being subjected to this. I knew that
I
this was going to be an issue.
I love it.
Jinx hates this episode, and I actually have a theory that the main reason we haven't recorded an episode in 2 years is not because she was busy with All Stars and Broadway. It's because she didn't want to discuss
I
this
hate
episode.
The way it goes, oh, honk, honk. I'm like,
come on, that is a fantastic performance
no,
by John
not.
DiMaggio. Stop talking shit no. about a talented socialist thespian.
Stop it.
Wait, here's a question. Is this the Halloween episode?
No.
No, it's not. That's what's even more frustrating. They just thought this was a good idea. They all collectively said, let's make this nonsense episode about Bender turning into a car. Oh my God, can we? Okay, so.
Anyhow, Bender wakes up in a puddle of transmission fluid.
Which was a very Bender, fun, that was a fun body horror moment. Like, you're like,
yeah,
ooh,
what's
that fluid?
And then our favorite character, the construction worker guy, comes over and wakes him up. And Bender's like, I'm scared. And the construction worker says, we're all scared. It's the human condition.
We're all scared. It's
the
human condition.
Why do you think I put on this tough guy facade?
Why do you think I put on this tough guy facade? So then we find out that that guy for the rest of Futurama is just, that's his coping mechanism. That's his defense mechanism in this cruel, cruel world that makes and changes the rules willy-nilly. He's really commenting on what it's like being a character in this show.
Bender believes he's hurting people in the night, but no one believes him. So they decide to get advice from who else? A Romani caricature of a fortune teller robot at a circus.
Oh, she was incredible.
She was
voiced
pretty
by
funny.
Tress McNeil.
But, yeah, an unfortunate sort of portrayal of a subsection of Eastern European culture.
Yes, but a trope that we're, you know, it's one of those things that we've been so steeped with this trope and this, like, portrayal of the culture that, like, I don't think people even realize, half the time people don't even realize when they're saying something that's a derogatory term towards travelers or Romani, because we've just been conditioned to think it's just English.
Yeah, I just thought it was carnival. It was just giving me carnival, you know, mythic carnival game, like something.
Well, I also think her lines are very funny. And it's a good exposition dump because she tells us all about the rules of the werecar in a funny way.
Yeah.
And Tress McNeil's performance is great.
She does have one of my favorite lines of the show. Bender says, "So you mean I can't die?" And she says, "Who said that? You could die. You want to die?" And pulls out a gun and threatens to kill him in that moment.
She really made me laugh when she like pointed too hard and fell over. And she was like, "Hey, can you pick me up?" "Never mind. Great. I'll just sleep here." And she turns off her light and closes her eyes.
And then she kind of follows them to another location. I was like, "Oh, wow.
Was she scooching around? How was she doing?"
I'm not sure, but I thought that was really compelling.
She
comes back too. I like this character, even though it's not good representation.
The fortune teller robot does come back often. Does she ever grow little legs? You know, like some of the vending machines grow little legs, and that's how they get around. The TV has legs that only come out during Mother's Day. You know,
that's true.
So who knows? Who knows how she gets around?
They weld Bender to the wall to protect the people of New York from his werecar destruction.
And she reveals that he's going to eventually kill his best friend. So naturally, Fry's very worried.
Darren, if you were to turn into a werecar, who would you run over that is your best friend? Or are there two people who would sort of get into a fight over who gets to be run over by?
I have a best friend. In this episode. I have a very, very, very best friend. Yeah, she's like,
she's doomed.
She's complete toast. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love
Jinx,
her.
Who would you run over? You have several best friends, and I won't be offended if you don't say me because you see
it's often. It's very interesting because it's like in my life there is you, Kenny, Major, Peaches, Dayla, I don't know. There's like,
would you just run over who's closest?
Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, live such a nomadic life, it would just be whoever I was collaborating with at that time. Y'all are so equal in my brain and my heart that Kenny is my platonic soulmate, so probably in the most danger.
Okay.
Aww.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, I would say Kate's my platonic soulmate too, so I really relate to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Sergio your platonic soulmate, Nick?
We're not platonic, baby.
Ooh.
I don't know.
We're doing some fucking.
Are you sure the honeymoon period hasn't fizzled off?
I'm pretty sure.
Nick's been getting head under the desk this entire episode.
Yeah, sorry if I'm distracted. The plan does not work, and Bender just grows out of his restraints and goes off into the night to chase down both Fry and Leela. And I don't really understand where Fry was going because he just left his apartment, but whatever. Did he say he was going somewhere?
Maybe he is to walk off his frustration.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's chasing down both of them, and then it zeroes in on Leela, not Fry, the werecar.
Oh, yeah, this is why Fry gets frustrated is... From this point on, Fry's upset because Bender tried to kill Leela, not him. And that's a hilarious premise. I like this. When do they go on their hunt for the original werecar?
I can fast forward to there. this chase scene is resolved by Leela picking up Bender with a big crane until he turns back into a robot in the morning.
I like that.
Okay, good. Darren, did you also like
it? But the next morning he's got a tire on his arm and then he just shakes it and it goes away. But where does the fucking rubber go?
Where do claws come from if you're a werewolf?
The bone! The bone, Nick! It's the bone!
It did occur to me that Layla? She spent the whole night in that claw machine.
Just Sitting there
until dawn.
Leela does a lot to keep the rest of the crew alive.
There's a very funny line the next morning where Fry confronts Bender about attacking Leela, not him. And Leela says, "It was very sweet of you, Bender." So this is the point where they go on the hunt for the original werecar. They have to kill it to cure this curse. This curse. They go back to Thermostat. They're bored by the villagers. What? They go up to a house, and there's a very funny line where Leela says, "The tire marks lead to here." And Fry goes, "Great job, Eagle Eye." It's just very obvious. So the homeowner shows up, and they beat him up because they think he's the original werecar. But he says, "No, it's not me.
I'm not the original werecar, but..."
No, that's later.
He says that he was attacked in the North Pole or something by the abominable snowmobile. So they fly to the North Pole or whatever. They talk to the abominable snowmobile. And he says he was attacked by a very famous actor, Calculon. I don't know. Yeah. I don't see robot gender, I guess.
Huh. Well, it was Tress MacNeil voicing her, so anyway.
Okay. Well, Tress MacNeil voices many male characters, but whatever.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Darren, is she being mean to me?
No, you guys are adorable. I love the banter. I just love the banter. I think it's
great. But she's being mean to me, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. Darren.
Yeah.
The character Calculon, he is a soap opera actor robot. And he's established as a pompous blowhard in the show. How did you feel about the character of Calculon? Did he seem like par for the course of like older male actors in Hollywood?
Oh, does he come back? Is he just in this episode, or is he recurring throughout?
He is the one person in this lineage of werecar that is a recurring character.
Oh, yes. Interesting.
And it's very weird that we get this backstory about him.
And he's been blessed with unholy acting talent.
Yeah, there's people like that in Hollywood. I think that tracks for sure. I like how the evil comes back to Hollywood.
Name names, Darren.
I love how
we
the
want
evil
you to name names.
You know. I've only made a cult, you know, my biggest success was a cult movie from the 90s. I'm not dialed into that deep, I don't think. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, I met the voice actor who plays Calculon. He also plays Morbo. He's also the voice of Brain on Pinky and the Brain. He plays he's one of those voice actors. Of course, I feel like a freaking asshat because I can't remember his name right now, but he is one of those voice actors who has been around, done it all, been here forever. And of course he'll be on the new reboot of Futurama, but he's a very sweet guy. Calculon is a lovely character. I don't know.
We learned that he's 1,000 years old.
He's 1,000 years old. He used to be a robot arm. There's some contradictions here. I want to talk about the werecar.
Because he says he was David Duchovny, but he was also in 2019, he was a robot arm.
Okay, wait. He's 1,000 years old because he's a werecar. Because he's not dying of natural robot causes like Bender's uncle. So he's he keeps upgrading his appearance. And I do love that line. I was all the famous acting robots. Thespobot, David Duchovny. But
that was a great line.
But do you see my issue? Like, if he was David Duchovny, how did he revert to being a robot arm in 2019?
Maybe because style is cyclical. Fashion and style and trends are cyclical. And maybe there was a time when it was popular to look like humans, and maybe that fad has ended.
I'm going to allow this.
Thank you. Get us to home base, baby.
So Calculon, as we mentioned, was once a robot arm in a car factory. And
sure,
he,
why not?
He was part of Project Satan, which was a secret government program to make the most evil car ever using the most evil car parts. We have Hitler's steering wheel, Charles Manson's blinker, and Knight Rider's windshield wipers.
Knight Rider wasn't evil.
His windshield wipers were. I don't know. Do we like this origin?
I loved it. I thought it was really fun. Yeah. You know, it's Hollywood is like, you know, apparently the origins of Scientology tie into Satanism as well. Oh. And that L. Ron Hubbard was a Satanist or he dabbled.
Well, that makes me like him even less because he's appropriated Satanism from the good Satanists.
I know. It's horrible.
Name a religion that wasn't appropriating something else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
So Calculon says you can go find the original wear car. He's either in Paris or much more likely he's still in the factory.
But
there's a brief shot of them looking
anyway.
In Paris. Yeah.
Looking around. Or much more likely
in the car factory says anti-Chrysler, which is pretty good. And they go in there and the plan is to jam a
silver potato
in the
tailpipe. That was so great and bizarre and random.
Yeah,
wait, this is really funny stuff.
Is that a robot potato or would that be a potato? is that a food for a robot? I don't know.
Well, the robots only drink alcohol.
It's either a potato made out of silver or it's a silver plated potato.
It could just be a regular potato on the inside, but it's silver on the outside.
Whatever it is, I find this funny because, that would be how you kill a wear car, I'm sure. But when they try to jam the potato in, he has no exhaust pipe because
of Ed Begley Jr.'s electric engine, the most evil compulsion device ever devised.
And they work a little fossil fuel propaganda into
But also during this time, Bender has turned into a wear car also. So he has teamed up with Project Satan and they're both chasing Fry and Leela around. Fry's very relieved that Bender has chosen to chase him. And then we get kind of a further Christine homage when Fry is inside of Bender and is being attacked by the seat belts. And it's very much that scene where the radio plays and the lights turn on. You know what I'm talking about, Darren?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
What was happening in Christine? What was that person feeling with the lights turned on in that car?
I don't know, but
they seemed really scared.
Is Fry being inside Bender, does that have a sexual...
erotic?
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, they do have kind of a Ni Tu Mama Tembien thing going on, where I think they do want to fuck each other. So maybe this is gratifying for them.
I don't know. It's like this. I don't think it was intended to be homoerotic, but if it was, they got it backwards because Bender's definitely the top.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe he wants to be a bossy bottom tonight. So they go into a room full of ramps and the cars jump at each other over some school buses and narrowly miss each other. But Project Satan careens into the fire and has a Mrs. Lovett style burning to death. And Bender is cured right then and there. All of the wear cars are.
With Fry inside him.
Yes. So it's even more sexual.
The Evel Knievel ramp bus gag, that was so fun. Were you guys into Evel Knievel as kids? I don't know. I think I was
more into the parodies of Evel Knievel, but yeah.
Right.
No one knows who that is, Reej.
I know, I'm showing my age, yeah, for sure.
No,
he was a man who wore a little cape and jumped over things on a bike.
Yes, of course. I think I'm definitely more familiar with spoofs of Evel Knievel, but I definitely was aware of Evel Knievel. Who was the Simpsons? What's his?
I don't remember.
Isn't that the episode that inspires
Springfield Gorge?
Yeah, Bart to jump. I guess that's season one, right? Season two.
I don't know, man.
Can I tell you my favorite line from Leela in this whole episode?
Yes,
the line that I liked. And you guys are going to be like, whatever. It's like every episode's chock full of brilliant, bizarre, weird dialogue. But
we won't be like, whatever.
But when Leela says, well, good night, I'm going to make my dinners for next month and freeze them.
Leela is...
She's okay, just insane.
Leela is this incredible character where she is this strong feminist icon while also being like a sad, lonely Kathy comic. Like, she is like, she's like incredibly independent, but her eye isolates her from normal people. Mm-hmm. So she's like, it's not that she wouldn't be just like your stereotypical female. It's just that her life has made her tough. And that only further isolates her from people. She's really an incredible character. And I think Katie Sagal does a great job voicing her. But I almost felt like, you know, there was that documentary, I Know That Voice. And it starts with like professional voice actors saying like, you got to know how to do this character's voice in every emotion. And you got to pick a voice that you got to find voices that you can sustain. You know, voice acting is a lot more than just finding a famous person with a recognizable voice, you know? And I'm like, woo. Cause it was like a Futurama cast member who said that.
Woo!
And I'm like, isn't there room for both? You know, like, mm-hmm. Jason Mantzoukas is doing a lot of voice acting, but he doesn't really disguise his voice. It's just Jason Mantzoukas has an amazing voice and should play a lot of voice acting characters. I think there's room for there to be voice actors who voice a bunch of different voices and voice actors who just have an iconic voice. And you build the character around that voice. Anyway, I don't know. I went
Jason Mantzoukas, come on the show.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay.
God, he's sexy.
End of the episode. End of the episode.
Whoa. Now I have a.
End of the episode. Everything's solved. Fry crawls out of Bender's tummy because he's a robot again, and he thanks Bender for trying to run him over, and he pulls out a beer and drinks it. And Bender says, "Hey, that was my last beer. I'll kill you." And Fry says, "I'll kill you too, buddy. I'll kill you too." And I think it's very funny.
And that then we go to credits, and don't we hear Fry choking?
Yeah, he's being strangled.
And that means that's a reference to their best friendship, correct?
Yeah. So
I think it's a sweet, lovely, you know, underpinning about friendship, about male friendship, best friendship.
So Darren,
no homo, platonic soulmate.
Well, so Darren, you agree this is a good episode, and Jinx is just being a baby.
I can't judge because I've never seen, this is the first full episode I've watched.
Did you have some laughs though?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I had a good time
with it. See, Darren thought it was fun, Jinx.
Yeah.
That's what people say when they don't have anything good to say on the show. It was so cute. It was fun. Oh, your show's so cute and fun. Listen.
Should we go into the questioning?
Yes, in a second. Okay. Of course, this episode has funny moments that made me laugh. I think when you love a show and when a show is very good, even the worst episode can still be the best, like, 22 minutes of television you watch that week. So I'm not saying that the episode doesn't have its merit. I'm just saying in the grand scheme of things, I don't like that they departed from something they had until now stuck to, which was finding a scientific reason, however implausible or outlandish, they would find some kind of scientific reason to explain the magic hippie woo-woo stuff that happens. So anyway.
We're going to go into the questioning now. here we go.
Hey, let me ask you something.
Darren, we've got some compulsory questions we ask every guest, and you can answer them however you feel based on this one episode you've seen. First question is, which character do you most identify with?
Ooh. I would say the Leela character. based on the otherness you spoke.
I think you're a Leela.
Yeah, based on the otherness that you spoke of in her, it made me that resonated.
I feel like Leela, we're supposed to watch the show through either Fry or Leela's eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like we're experiencing the show as either Fry or Leela. And they have a cosmic love tale that we've only just begun to scratch the surface of. So very astute, Mr. Stein. Next question, who would you do? Of all the animated characters Lord. in this That's cartoon so episode, dirty. I don't who think of do you want to bang?
You can bang a robot. You can bang an alien. You can do whatever.
You could bang. You could bang a satanic car.
Oh, wow. That's so titane. I would say just that cool jazzy robot. Like she was kind of kinky and hot. Yeah, I'd go there.
Okay, we'll have to bleep that.
Oh, you can't see the word. I'm sorry.
Stop saying it. The fortune teller robot. You wanna bang the fortune teller?
Yeah, just because she's just, you know, I like carnivals and I like. I don't know, being random.
Sorry. And she doesn't have a bottom half, but maybe that means she can do a lot with her top half.
She was a fun surprise. I like that she was in the show.
And if you do a good job, maybe she'll give you tickets.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's my connection to the movie Big, okay?
Mm-hmm. Big, oy. Big vibes.
Oi.
Oi, oi. Okay.
And the final question is, now that you've seen this episode of Futurama, would you watch more?
I kind of would now because your passion for this has been infectious to me. And the fact that it's so meaningful to you and that, you know, it's outside of my realm of what I do. You know, anything that I think opens up your perception, I think is a good thing. So yeah, I would definitely watch more.
Well, you wanted to watch more, the next like 4 or 5 episodes are kind of a hot streak. So you could just keep going where you left off.
Cool. You could keep going where you left off. You could go back and watch seasons 1 and 2, which are really, really wonderful. If you are just now joining us here on I'm 40% podcast here at episode 1 of season 3, we have already reviewed all the episodes from seasons 1 and 2. As we said earlier in the episode, we are going to pause where we are in the old episodes and pick up with the new episodes as they start airing. Darren, you could start at the beginning. You could keep going where you're from. I mean, where you're at. Or you could start with the new season and maybe it will inspire you to go back and learn all of the lore and interpersonal relationships that led up to this moment. But I believe there's a reason this show keeps getting rebooted. It's just that interesting.
I have a question for you guys. I mean, do you two love this more or less or equally than The Simpsons?
For me.
I think you go first.
In general. For me.
For me?
In general. I love The Simpsons, but The Simpsons hasn't been what it was to me as a kid for a long, long time. Like The Simpsons seasons 2 through 10 are really significant to me. And then I kind of fall out with it. But I still watch it out of loyalty. Now, Futurama, every reboot, even though like sometimes there's not as many amazing episodes or there's a higher number of not as good episodes, the reboots have not disappointed. And when they ended it, I think when they thought they were ending it for the last time, I thought they did a really good job of ending it. So the fact that it's rebooted again, I'm like, there's gonna be some clunkers maybe as any show that's like gone on this long. But I think we're in store for probably a really good season.
Cool.
I agree. I would say the average episode of Futurama is maybe a little better than the average episode of The Simpsons, but maybe you, Simpsons yeah. has higher highs.
If you take it all, boil it in a pot, and you know only the best rises to the surface, you'd get more Futurama than than Simpsons at this point.
Ooh, Darren, you know what you should watch? You should watch the John Waters episode of The Simpsons. I bet you might enjoy
for
that.
Sure will. Yeah.
It's wonderful. It was essentially how John Waters came out, right?
Oh, wow.
John Waters invented coming out on TV. He did it first.
Ellen.
I love that.
Ellen, Rosie, Lance.
Well, I think that's kind of the end of our return to the podcast. Watch another episode next week. Darren, thank you so much for joining us. Where can
thank
people
you
find you?
Thank you for having me. At Darren Stein on Instagram or Twitter, I guess.
And anything fun upcoming that you can announce yet or secret things still?
Well, I'm out to a really cool actress on a movie, but the script's done, so it's not like I'm writing because you can't write right now.
Yes.
But it has been optioned, but this is a very special actress reading. We'll see if she does it, then I could tell you, but I can't yet. And then what Jinx was talking about, the Jawbreaker musical.
It's Kristen Stewart.
She's British, I'll say that.
It's Olivia Colman. Olivia Colman. Helena Bonham Carter.
She's blonde. Anyway. Okay, stop this game. This game is gonna be over because it's always a process to find the right actor.
I know exactly who it is anyway.
There's no blonde people in England.
No, I just actually, before the strike started, I turned in the first draft of the Jawbreaker movie musical for Sony.
Oh, yay.
So that's a very exciting thing.
That is very exciting. Yeah, I will say I'm a big fan of when they make the musical that's based on a movie into a movie again, because I love the Hairspray movie.
Well, yeah. And, you know, Jinx had done a reading, remember, in New York when we were trying to get it off the ground there.
Yeah. But
see, unlike Mean Girls, this will have never been to Broadway. Hey. This will have never...
We're just skipping that part.
We're skipping the theater. We're skipping the stage and going straight to movie musical remake. Let's just get into it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, go follow Darren. We'll be back next week. You do this part, don't you?
We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of I'm 40% Podcast. You can follow Nick Sohoia and I. Nick is basically just on Instagram. That's at Sohoia. I'm at The Jinx on Instagram, at Official Jinx Monsoon on TikTok, and at Jinx Monsoon everywhere else. You can stream I'm 40% Podcast wherever you do your podcasting. We're everywhere. Now that we're back, we'll be going steady, barring any unforeseen circumstances. But thank you so much for your patience during our lengthy hiatus. We're so happy to be bringing you new episodes again, and we're so happy to be watching this really old television show as our job. Thanks, everyone. Have a futuristic day.
Bye, everyone. Thank you, Darren.
Thanks, guys. Wow, 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 wow.